Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up, Star Wars fam? I'm Steph Sabra, Chewbacca's long-lost daughter, Harry, and charismatic, just like my dear old dad.
Just like your dad.
I'm joined by my favorite co-pilot in the galaxy, Ryan Nelson, head of Popcorn Talk. Ryan, miss you so much, friend.
Dude, Steph and I almost cried when we linked up the Zoom meeting today because we wish we could force project because we just haven't seen each other and it's sad.
It's sad. It should be illegal. It's ruining my life. Oh, yeah, you just got I am drinking
We both
coffee
have our coffee, our Star Wars Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, friends, we're so glad to be back. Just remember that the best Star Wars galaxy is an anti-racist galaxy. So as we continue to bring Star Wars news to you weekly, I want to remind everyone to be doing their best to become better allies every day. And fight the good fight. Anyways, we have an exciting show today. We're glad to be back again every Thursday, 4 p.m. PST on the Popcorn Talk. We have some Deborah Chow news. If you don't know her, she was one of my favorite directors from the Mandalorian series, which had an incredible set of directors. And then we have some Mandalorian book and comic news. Ryan, oh my God, we got such a good tweet from Ryan Johnson on Star Wars and on the prequels because that is such a polarizing subject, but he had such a great tweet. Ryan was obsessed with it. And then a lot of fans were showing love in the different things that they love about the prequels. So we'll talk about that. And then some good TikTok Star Wars stuff. And then a really crazy rumor is going around about the sequel prequels.
Rumor has it. I wish we had our soundbite from Adele to play, but it is a wild rumor. And just a lot of chatter in the Star Wars community this week, like there is in our chat. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Again, live, 4 p.m. Thursdays, Popcorn Talk. James Lott Jr. guested last week. He is in the chat. Hello, Star Wars fam, as well as Darth Baca and 3D
love you,
Raphael.
James Lott and Darth Baca.
So share your thoughts throughout the show, y'all.
Yeah, and make sure you hit that like button and leave a comment after this video because that really helps, I hear around the world that helps the algorithm.
I hear Roxy say that a lot.
A lot, so
Let's try it.
Okay, this is any Deborah Chow news makes me so excited. She directed two of my favorite episodes from the first season of The Mandalorian. And she is slated to direct the entire Obi-Wan series that we don't really know when it's coming or if it really will, but we hope it will because she's directing it. And she sat down with an interview and she was talking about the major differences between The Mandalorian and the Obi-Wan series. And it's pretty obvious. It's because The Mandalorian had six different directors. We had Rick Famuyiwa. We had Bryce Dallas Howard. Taika Waititi.
And Filoni. We had Dave Filoni.
Yeah. And so that she was working with a big group and she was saying that was an incredible experience because it was so collaborative and they actually met and worked with each other a lot, even though they had their own individual episodes, whereas the Obi-Wan series is just her. So there's positives and negatives to both. What'd you think about the interview, Rye?
Yeah, I thought it's always exciting. Like Deborah Chow is our girl. Like ever since we check our Mandalorian after show, I think it was episode 3 was her first one, of 3 or 4, and we were just electrified. Like because the series was great throughout, but it wasn't until her first episode where we were like, oh my gosh, this is what this show can be. And then her second one was just as good. And then we're like, oh, she's doing the Obi-Wan series. Like she is The Pick, my favorite director. I think my favorite episodes from that first season were hers. And it's awesome that she's doing this entire Obi-Wan series. But what she was saying in this interview I thought was really interesting. It confirmed a lot of things that we've been talking about, Steph, which is just that, you know, this is going to be a much more like singular story with a character we're already familiar about, as opposed to The Mandalorian, who we're like picking up little nuggets throughout the entire season. There's no mask. This, like, we know Obi-Wan's face. We've seen him young and old.
Yeah.
And in just those differences, I think that those rumors early on were true, that maybe the first draft of the scripts were a little too similar to The Mandalorian, like someone protecting a youngster, which in this case would have been like Obi-Wan and Luke. Now I'm thinking Baby Yoda and Mando. So I'm hyped. I'm glad it's going to have a different tone. And I'm really, really confident in Deborah Chow helming the entire project.
Me too, because the article actually pointed out something that I didn't put together before, but she was signed as the director for the Obi-Wan series before her episodes from The Mandalorian aired, which means they probably just knew she was the shit on set, just knew that they needed to work with her again, because she landed that gig after. So, I mean, she's probably a pleasure to work with on set, and she obviously gives incredible product at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. What I was most hyped for, Star Wars has done that before, and I don't think they've had the best track record with it, because I know the news that Rian Johnson was going to do an entire trilogy on his own came out before Last Jedi came out, and that's still a little up in the air whether we're going to get that or not. But I think they were just so blown away by Deborah Chow's work, and then seeing that audience response, they're like, oh yeah, and we really got to make sure this is going to be the best product it is. But yeah, they're just on top of their ish and when it comes to TV. And this further proves that. I hope they're taking
So as we know, the Obi-Wan series was supposed to start, I believe, this July, but got pushed back to January of 2021. But that was before coronavirus. So I don't even know what their plan is now that the pandemic has happened, because we don't even know if production's going to stay, because it recently opened, but I don't know if it will stay open.
Yeah, if this past week was any indication, I just think we really do not know. Which makes me sad. I think like that's the case for any movie, upcoming movie or live action TV series. But hopefully they'll figure something out. And if not, maybe we can get more of the animated content. But I'm really hyped that they're not wavering at all with her, and they're clearly like developing it as much as they possibly can during this downtime, so that we do get something like remarkable later on.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. In other news, Star Wars announced a spinoff to The Mandalorian in books and comics, and it's pretty cool. There's a few different ones coming out. The Art of the Mandalorian, this will be season one by Phil Sostak, I believe.
Right.
Covered by Doug Chang. The Mandalorian original novel, this is an adult novel, that's by Adam Christopher. And then there's The Mandalorian, The Ultimate Visual Guide by Pablo Hidalgo. Allies and Enemies Level 2 Reader by Brooke Vital, The Mandalorian 8x8 Storybook by Brooke Vital, and The Mandalorian Junior Novelization by Joe Schreiber. So pretty cool. There's like every generation can have something.
Yeah, we're getting young adult novels. The Art of, I'm really excited, because you know how at the end of every episode they had all the concept art and the credits? Like, I'd love a book of just all of those, which is really cool. Which ones have we not seen? Which of these titles, again, we don't know really anything about them, but which of these titles most attracts to you, Steph?
I'm kind of interested in what the Mandalorian original novel, the adult novel, would be.
Right, and do you think that these are going to be, obviously,
like, what do you mean by adult novel?
Right. Like, are we going to see an unmasking?
Are we going to see a Mando love scene? Because
with the mask on, we are here for it. He's going to go back to that planet with the
yes, with the booth thing, the Bryce Dallas Howard episode, Sanctuary. Yes.
Is he going to go back to his sanctuary? I don't know. And Adam Christopher is the author of that, and I'm not really familiar with any of his work. But Pablo Hidalgo, he's done a lot of the visual guides for Star Wars, like the one I have of A Rise of Skywalker. I think he did.
The Mandalorian art that we've seen for just the show was so cool. and so they basically developed it exactly. Usually you see art and it doesn't really look like how the movie or the show ended up.
Right. Joe Schreiber, I was kind of doing just a straight up Google search of him earlier. He's actually been involved with Star Wars for like quite a while. He even did a horror Star Wars novel before Disney bought Star Wars called Death Troopers, which was like in 2009. But he's from Pennsylvania, where I'm from, and he's always been involved in writing things for Star Wars. But I mean, Death Troopers became a thing in Rogue One, like the all black suit, and then we saw him again in Mandalorian. So I think that's really cool that he's involved. Like, this is a guy who's like a longtime fan and writer for it. And now he's getting like a current spinoff of The Mandalorian. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah, that's sick.
Really sick. Yeah. I'm excited
for those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're coming out with a ton of books and comics. Is this normal production for that? Because I feel like I've never heard about so many coming out at once.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch right now. And I think some of it has stalled. I think since we're just in this stage where you can only announce so much of the live action content, like let's fill the void with something. Let's get some more comics. Let's get some more books. Everyone loved Mandalorian so much; it's so popular. Let's just expand this universe and keep going. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's this normal. There's always been a ton of Star Wars books, but the ones that are right now that are like canon and Disney has actually a hand in producing.
Yeah, a ton.
That's so many people to wrangle and get on the same page. It's impressive, but unusual.
So this is a fun story. Rian Johnson explains what made the prequel great. He tweeted this, and I love this for many reasons because I like the prequels, and I will die happily on that hill. He said, Lucas made a gorgeous 7-hour long movie for children about how entitlement and fear of loss turns good people into fascists and did it while spearheading nearly every technical sea change in modern filmmaking of the past 30 years. I mean, this is so absolutely true.
Wow. I have the tweet up for everyone right now. I mean, this is a badass statement. Like, this guy, he's so unapologetically a Star Wars fan, much like you and I, Steph. And by the way, this was in reply to someone going, say a genuinely nice thing about the Star Wars prequels. And he just replied. Like, that is awesome. It didn't come out of nowhere. I mean, Steph, were you like, I instantly wanted to just go in my car and turn on the Last Jedi score and start driving with the windows down yelling like a madman.
Yeah, I watched episode 2 last night as I went to bed because I just got reinvigorated. I had a desire to watch it because of him. But I completely agree. I like, obviously, the themes that played and are portrayed in Star Wars are why I love it so much, because it speaks so realistically to what we go through here on Earth. So I love that. And I think that the prequels did a really good job of exposing the sort of political behind the scenes factors of what goes on in the Star Wars. And what else do I love about it?
Well, I can hop in right there. Just breaking down his tweet, it's so accurate. So 7-hour long movie. So all three, the trilogy, like very concise, his vision. For children, which that was one big criticism, even though all of Star Wars has kind of been geared towards children ever since it came out in the first place. This one felt a lot more kiddie, but it gets dark. Like, episode 3 is so dark.
He kills children.
Like, grow
younglings.
Up. Younglings. Younglings. But how entitlement, so Anakin, I'm seeing, like, being an entitled person as well as the Emperor, like Palpatine,
I'm so into you breaking this down line by line.
Right? Fear of loss. So remember, he had those night terrors. He was afraid of his mom dying. He was afraid of Padme dying. And ultimately, that's what happened. And turned him into a fascist. You see them at the end of episode 3, like, watching the Death Star being built. Just, like, nodding. And, like, they're evil people. They're what they swore to destroy. And the technical achievement. That goes without saying. I think everyone was pretty on board for that. Like,
yeah, they were so sick, especially for that time. They still hold up in a lot of ways. The way that they portrayed each city and planet that they were on and all of the different fight scenes that we got, I think that it was so dope for that time and still is. But I do think that for kids now, the prequels would age well because we all, like, there is some fascism going on in the United States today. So I do think that there are more relatable storylines to today than perhaps there was in the early 2000s when it came out.
And this sparked a huge conversation online just about your favorite prequel moments. And we've talked about this a ton of times too. Like, the prequels were the joke for a while. And now that we're getting all this more Star Wars, people who grew up with the prequels at more of a forefront like you and I, like, we like them a lot more, and I think they've kind of grown on people as years have passed. People are sounding off in the live chat right now, just going in about just saying, "Damn, came with the bars." Yeah, Rian Johnson.
He did.
Came in hot.
He's like, stop it.
I think you have any favorite moments, Steph? You said you watched Attack of the Clones last night. What was a scene that stood out?
Okay, well, in general, I like the movies because I don't read too much. I totally understand that Anakin is going to be dramatic, and I'm okay with that. I feel like if you're expecting something else, you might be upset at the entire time. But I love it. But in episode 1 particular, I love the pod racing. You know I love that.
Oh my gosh, so fun. James Law Jr. chiming in the chat saying he's seen every Star Wars movie in theaters. There's something about seeing a scene like the pod
race. That's such a big flex.
Oh, it's a huge flex, James Lott. But something about seeing something like the pod race on the big screen, like, that is a magical theatrical moment.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorites from Phantom Menace is when they introduced Darth Maul. Like, I don't know if you remember, but Palpatine's on, like, a FaceTime with the Separatists, and he goes, "Oh, my apprentice will be joining you." And he comes in out of the shadows, like, just looking like a badass, and you're like, "Who's this guy?" And the whole rest of the movie, is he the Phantom Menace? And we realize.
Great call, Rye. Everyone, let us know what your favorite parts about the prequels in the comments below, even after this live chat has ended. And if you're not joining our live chat, you can every week, Thursdays, 4 p.m. PST on the Popcorn Talk. But I do want to share some of what the different fans were saying on Twitter about naming one good thing about the prequels.
Yes.
We have one. Are you pulling that up, Rye, too?
Pulling them up right here. Yeah.
Okay. Adam Savage said they were super fun to work on, and I got to do it with some of my favorite people in the world. Oh, this is my favorite. This is from Rashida Renee, said beautiful gowns, and put all of Padme's gowns, and it's so true. Facts. Beautiful gowns.
I counted, Steph, there are 16 outfits here.
Amazing.
16
goals. I need that in my life.
Like, those are
fashion
awesome.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, this one is so random. Only real Star Wars fans would know this. Matt Martin, one word, Yaddle.
And the photo's great.
This was a good one from AJ. Maul intro, pod racing, Ewan McGregor, Ian McDiarmid, the clones, Genosis, Coleman, Trevor, San, Dexter, Jets, lightsaber choreography, the battles, Order 66 era, Qui-Gon, Grievous, Windu, Rise of Vader, John Williams, Revenge of the Sith. Should I go on?
I mean, enough. He really, like, the first two were R2 with Paul's intro and the pod racing. God, I mean, I forgot the Dexter Jetster. That's the guy Obi-Wan meets up with in Attack of the Clones when he's like, "What is this?
Yeah.
What is this thing?" And he's like, "Those are from cloners."
Wait, Ryan, since we're talking about episode 1, can you do your Watto? Watto. Yeah.
Well, really, it's the Watto in Attack of the Clones when they go back and they're like, and Anakin's like all grown up and he doesn't recognize
him.
And he fixes something and he's like, "You Annie! Little Annie!" And he's like, "Yeah, it's, yes, Watto, I'm Little Annie."
This is reminding me of Brandon Hanna. Shout out to Brandon Hanna if you're in the chat. He's always rocking with us in Star Wars and just in life, in nerd culture in general. Miss you, bud. Hope you're good.
And shout out to everyone in the chat. I want to know who people in the chat if they can do any good impressions as well. I know James Lotz can basically do Darth Vader just by existing, talking.
He is everyone's daddy.
But
shout out to everyone in the chat. You guys actually are the best. Thank you so much for watching and make sure to hit that like button. John Kasten said, "Still the best teaser poster movie in history." Can you pull that photo up?
I got it up.
Because I agree.
I mean, the shadow of Anakin and Vader, that is classic. I'm getting chills talking about it right now.
And then Matt coming out years after, you know, like it had been years since Star Wars movies and then that happened. So right. Dope.
Like if this being a prequel, it's just so effective. And so many other posters have copied it too, just like with that whole shadow effect. I love that poster. It's tragic. Mm-hmm. Like this little kid and he turns into be this like gigantic monster.
Exactly. Kenzie et al. Said, "I liked how all the elected officials were completely useless and let fascism take over, just like real life. Extremely relevant storytelling."
I just found that one. I'm flashing then, all the tweets.
Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan was perfection. And then also, I feel like it doesn't get talked enough. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, but then also Hayden Christensen as Anakin. Mm. That's an incredible combo.
Oh, I mean, Steph, if they announced like a new Star Wars project, or if they said Hayden's going to make a cameo in the Obi-Wan series, like, forget it. Box office.
I know. I don't get it, Ryan. So I just watched Jumper. I believe that's what it's called. And yeah. Hayden, and he's in it. And it was like only made a few years after the prequels. And he's so good in it. And he actually met his wife, I think, on set from there, because it's Rachel Bilson and she's his co-star.
Right.
And I just get so, I got so sad because I'm like, why don't we see him anymore?
I'm frustrated too. If he came out with something, I saw a really funny tweet this week that was like, if Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, and Hayden Christensen were going to be in a movie together, it would get $1 billion just because those were the guys in the early 2000s. Like, those were the guys. The biggest movies, the biggest
stars.
Yes,
you're so right.
Oh my gosh. Even Ewan. Yeah. Like, I know Dr. Sleep just popped on, I think, HBO Max, and that was like the number one movie last week. And like, it's Ewan.
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 I have to see that.
He's the man. Yeah, he's definitely the highlight for in terms of acting, I think, for the prequels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he carried it for sure. Moving on, if you guys have a lot of money, which I don't know who has a lot of money right now other than Kim Kardashian, who has, what is it, 16 horses on her ranch in a golf cart?
Apparently she's not a billionaire. That's what I heard, though.
Oh, yeah. Forbes is like, stop it.
Stop lying.
So there is an Ultimate Mandalorian helmet replica.
Got the photo
available.
Up right now.
Yeah, and it's available for $649.99 with shipping. Pretty expensive, but it's pretty freaking cool, and it's really really high end, officially licensed prop replica. It was unveiled earlier this year that it says close to a screen-use prop as you're likely to get without being Pedro Pascal.
Wow.
So if you really want to cosplay, I feel like this is where you would go.
This is the type of thing that if quarantine keeps going the way it's going right now, I'm going to save up for this.
You know? Wait, what happened with the Disney money?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have updates. I have updates.
Okay.
So
update.
It's so funny. Someone asked me that on so I was helping produce Better Together the other day. It's someone in the chat, Star Drew. Star Drew in the chat goes, "What did you do with the celebration money?"
Star Drew. Yeah, what did you do?
So I looked deeper into it, and I actually got some awesome advice from the con guys who were reporting on Star Wars Celebration being canceled last week. The thing is, if I got all the cash back, they would take a fee. It would be like a 5% processing fee, which isn't a whole lot because of the amount of money. This is like $300 for these two tickets. So I was going to do that, but then they were like, we can give you credit. What we can do is we can reserve two tickets for the next time it's in Anaheim, but you can withdraw whenever you want. So I'm doing that for the time being.
Oh, okay.
So it still gives me...
If you felt like getting cash, you would just withdraw.
Exactly.
All right. I can definitely respect that.
And you know what? Maybe I'll sell them. Probably not, though. Probably not.
Do you think you're going to keep that? I feel like you're going to keep them if I know you.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nice. Like, what I did last year totally worked out in that I was like, wow, I just spent so much money and I forgot about it. And now that this got canceled, I was like, oh, wow, I can just get this cool little bonus surplus here. But maybe I just keep it there and it's a happy surprise down the road. Mm-hmm. The point is I can take it out whenever, which
I
is nice.
That.
Yeah.
Mature. A very mature decision.
Someone's Heywood Wong saying Rye Guy Christmas wish for that helmet. That's an expensive Christmas wish.
Is Laura in the chat? Laura Nilsson, now you know what Rye wants for Christmas.
$650 helmet.
So useful. And yeah, it would just be the perfect Christmas gift.
Easily.
Okay, Rye Guy, can you pull up this TikTok? This dude is doing the funniest Star Wars impressions, and they're so spot on. I don't get how he does it, but he did that.
I got him right here. Yeah, I mean, we were even talking about this last week when James Lott was on, because he's like the Star Wars TikTok guy. There haven't been really like that many cool Star Wars TikToks, but this one took off. And we always love showing like some great social media. So here we go. This guy's name is Funklord_Vader. Steph, you want to know what you sound like right now?
Huh?
You sound like one AirPod died and the other is alive and well. You sound like Kylo Ren's mask is malfunctioning.
Wait, what do you mean?
Maybe I'm crazy in the live chat. You guys can sound
is it?
As well.
Has it been like that the entire episode?
No. It just started like the past 30 seconds.
Okay, is it good now?
It is good now. I don't know if they could hear the video. Can you guys hear? Oh, wait, now they can. Senorita.
It makes me feel
so
nice.
Wait, hold on, Steph. I gotta put the last one on real quick.
I love it when you call me Senorita. Well, miss. I love it when you call me Senorita.
I love it when you call me Senorita. It's a fitting title, don't you think?
I happen to like it when you call me Senorita. Is that a problem? I love it when you call me Senorita. You and your pathetic rebellion will soon find that I prefer the term Senorita.
So now the audio.
Now they hear that. Yeah.
Audio now.
Sorry about that,
okay.
You guys. The force was not strong with that first take. For sure.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm glad that we showed that. Another thing, let's get to our rumor. So this is a crazy rumor that's going around right now. This guy, let me see what his profile was. It was so creepy, his video. It seemed like a jigsaw. What's that movie?
Saw.
Saw. But that type of video, like you have 48 hours or whatever he says. Okay, wait,
cut
let me
your,
see. Oh,
cut off your hand,
and okay, so the person who made this rumor, who said he says he has all these sources, his name on Twitter, his handle is Doomcock. You guys, his name is Doomcock. So I'm going to take everything he says with a large grain of salt.
Yeah.
All right. And I implore you to do the same.
Yikes. I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know that in the rundown. I didn't see that one in the rundown.
Yeah, Doomcock says that Disney is apparently erasing the sequel trilogy. There are plans to erase the sequel trilogy from the other original movies because I don't know why. He didn't really give a reason as to why. I guess if you want to assume, it's because they weren't as pleased with that. But they are using like a loophole from what is the animated show called?
Clone Wars, right?
No, it's not Clone Wars.
It's Rebels. Rebels. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I've totally like brain farted. By the way, I have the video of the guy up right now. He totally looks like Saw. It's
yeah, he looks like he's right? just threatening. It's creepy, and his name is Doomscock. So. Yeah, he's saying that the plan is to erase the sequel trilogy from the face of the Star Wars planet. I don't know. Rye, what do you think about this? Is this all BS? And if it isn't, what do you think that, do you think that's okay?
All right. So this, we're about to nerd out, y'all.
Yeah, can you explain what he's saying, like how it could be erased?
Right. So in the series Rebels, which Steph has watched a lot of Clone Wars. I don't think you've seen a lot of the Rebels quite yet.
No.
You can check it out on Disney Plus. There is an episode, really great one, called The World Between Worlds, I'm not going to say it's time travel, but it's like the Star Wars cool version of that. That Ahsoka and a few of the characters from Rebels kind of get roped into. And there is some, like, skippage of time where you can, like, pull people out of situations they're in and, like, reposition them. So the theory that I believe Doomcock was referring to here is the idea that if there was anything we didn't love about the sequel trilogy, there could be a storyline where perhaps they use the world between worlds and save someone or change something. The theory that people were kind of floating out there is with like Ben Solo, if perhaps they save him so he can be alive or something around that. It's actually really cool in the show. It sounds like I don't love time travel that much anymore. It's a little cliche. It's in everything.
How dare you?
I know. But the way they used it in Rebels was amazing. And I don't love the whole idea of retconning. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I heard about this. We've talked about this before. This has been mentioned many times before as a use in different different forms of Star Wars material. So I've heard about this and it is dope. But let's say they did. Let's say they were like, you know what? The sequel trilogy is not what we want to have on the Star Wars future fans' minds when they think about these movies. Like, let's kind of displace them so they're not as connected. I don't even think that's possible because you can't just like, I mean, you could be like America and just kind of erase some of history in the history books, but everyone will know that those movies came out with it. So what would be the purpose? Just to like tell another story?
Right. I don't want like some retconning happening. Like that, yeah. I think that's the thing we're a little worried about. But if they pull it off in a cool way, I was actually talking about this with Rachel Goodman, who's a friend of the show. Like, I wouldn't love to see a movie start off with they use this and they like bring Ben Solo back to life. However, I think it'd be like a really cool movie if just like a standalone movie that followed Rey like on her new journey. She buried the lightsabers, and if she learned everything she could about this world between worlds, and the ending is she like save Ben or something like that. Like that'd be, I think, a really cool usage of this. I just think you gotta be careful. Blasphemy? You like
the
death?
Blasphemy. Just leave it. Honestly, leave it. Leave the movies.
Okay.
You said you're done with Skywalker. Be done with it. There is an entire galaxy to talk about. I love Skywalker, all of it, the entire family, but be done. We are moving on. You
Rest
said
in
it,
peace.
Not me, and now I'm just living with it, you know? I've made peace with your news to me that you were done with Skywalkers, and we have to move on.
But Doomcock is, he's demanding this.
Listen, Professor Doomcock, Jigsaw 2020 version.
2020.
I need receipts. not just your voice recording.
Gregory Castillo in the chat saying save Snoke. Ahsoka could come out and save everything.
Just make an Ahsoka movie.
Samir saying, preach, Steph. Joel Pizzimo in the chat saying, dead ass, just leave it. Move on. Look, I guess it's that difference that we're having right now, Steph. You want to go more outward in this universe. I want to go more inward. I want to see more of the world in between worlds, you know?
Yay!
I want to Ant-Man shrink there.
Woo! Okay, we have differences, but you really sold that. I don't agree with it, but you make a good argument. Maybe we can get both for us so that we're all happy.
Perhaps not. We'll see what Doomcock's next video is. That'll be like a special segment now.
Doomcock, let me tell you, I cannot wait for your next video.
We should get him on the show.
Wait.
Yo.
Yes.
Let's all tweet at Doom. Yeah.
Okay, let's all tweet at Doomcock, all right? Anyways, I think that wraps up this week's episode of Star Wars News. Just a reminder, we're here every Thursday, 4 p.m. PST at the Popcorn Talk Network. Rye, any last thoughts? And if not, where can everyone keep up with you and chat with you until next week?
My last thoughts, JLJ Media, James Law Jr. saying he wants to go inward too.
Ooh.
My last thoughts, guys, may the Force be with you. You know, Star Wars rewatching, that's getting us through this quarantine, this crazy time. We're loving the news. Please tweet at Steph and I. You can find me at Rye Nilsson, R-Y-N-I-L. SCN, if there's something you want us to talk about on the show, a guest you want us to bring on or reach out to, and comment in this video your thoughts. That really helps us spread the word of the show. Steph, where can people find you?
You can find me on all over social media at Steph Sobral. Yeah, hit Ryan and I up. We love to hear different Star Wars series and news from you guys. And you guys have a great weekend. We will see you next week. And until then, May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you on July 4th.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.